You're listening to a message from Victory. Join us as we dive into the book of Romans to understand more about the power of the gospel in our series, The Gospel Explained.
Magandang araw po sa ating lahat, Victory Metrics family. At ipagkapatuloy po natin ang ating series, The Gospel Explained, and we are now in the book of Romans, particularly chapter 4. There is a familiar story of a famous tightrope walker. At ang pangalan po niya ay Blondin. So ang ginawa po niya, he strung a rope across Niagara Falls and promised to walk to the other side. And so there was a huge crowd that was gathered to watch as he took his long pole and slowly but expertly started out. The crowd watched tensely, knowing that one false step would plunge him to his death. But not only did he walk across safely, he returned as well. And people began to clap their hands and they were shouting in jubilation. And then he asked the crowd, "Do you think I can do it again?" And people shouted, "Yes! Yes, we believe in you! You can do it!" Then he made an outstanding offer. "Do you want me to do it again?" And people cheered all the more and they said, "Yes, yes." And then he said, "I'll do it again with one condition, that one of you will ride on my back as I cross that tight rope. We will cross together back and forth. Any takers? Any volunteer?" But the crowd was so silent. Nobody rushed forward to accept the offer. And to those of you who are tuning in right now, will you accept the offer? Will you ride on the back of Blondin, risk your life with him to cross the falls together? Will you do it? Finally, one young man moved toward the front of the crowd and Blondin put the question to him, "Do you believe that I can carry you across safely?" And the young man says, "Yes, I do." Blondin asked another question, "Are you willing to let me?" The young man replied with confidence, "As a matter of fact, I am." The young man climbed on Blondin's back and the great tightrope walker stepped onto the rope with the young man on his back. He paused for a moment and then he began to cross the Niagara Falls on the tightrope. And he crossed it back and forth and there was no problem. They were able to make it safely back to where they started. You see, there were many in that crowd who agreed that Blondin could do it, but there was no one who was willing to entrust himself to him except for that young man. You see, that young man displayed faith on the capability and the ability of Blondin to cross the Niagara Falls on a tightrope. That man displayed faith. And here in chapter 4, Paul uses Abraham as the supreme example to prove that salvation, righteousness comes about simply because of faith and faith alone. Justification by faith. Righteousness that comes through faith, that's what we're going to talk about today. Would you please get your Bibles and open it to Romans 4, 17 to 22. Let me read it for all of us. "As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. In hope, he believed against hope, that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. And that's why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. Let's just pray right now. Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, would you bless the preaching of your word today? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Kung babasahin po natin yung Romans 4 verses 1 to 15, we can see that we are made right with God by faith. It is only by faith, not because of works, but by faith alone. Romans 4 verse 5 says, but people are counted as righteous, not because of their work, but because of their faith in God, who forgives sinners. And so we are made right with God by faith and not because of works. Not only not because of works, not because of rituals or tradition or anything external. Romans 4, 9 to 11 says, well, we have been saying that Abraham was counted as righteous by God because of his faith. But how did this happen? Was he counted as righteous only after he was circumcised? Or was it before he was circumcised? And then it says clearly, God accepted Abraham before he was circumcised. Circumcision was a sign that Abraham already had faith and that God had already accepted him and declared him to be righteous even before he was circumcised. And so we are made right by faith and by faith alone, not by works, not by circumcision or any ritual or any tradition or any external things, but by faith alone. And it is also not because of keeping the law. Romans 4:13 says, clearly, God's promise to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants was based not on his obedience to God's law, but on a right relationship with God that comes by faith. By faith. We are made right with God by faith. And it is not dependent on our good works. It is not dependent on anything external, ritual, or tradition. It is not dependent on keeping the law to save us. We are made right with God by faith. And in order to teach us how faith works, Paul recalled one of the greatest miracles in the Bible, and that is the birth of Isaac. And some lessons we can learn from here are, number one, Abraham's faith was anchored on God. Abraham's faith was anchored on God. Romans 4:17 says, I have made you the father of many nations. This happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. Romans 4 verse 18 says, there was no hope that Abraham would have children, but Abraham believed God and continued hoping, and so he became the father of many nations. Even from verse 3, ang sabi po dito, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him as righteousness. And so the object of the faith of Abraham was God. Abraham believed God. Abraham's faith was anchored on God, not on his faith. Abraham trusted God. The amount of faith we have has nothing to do with it. And that's why Jesus says, if you have faith in God, whether that faith is as small as a mustard seed, it will work. It can move mountains. The object of our faith is the important thing. You see, it's not a question of how little or how big our faith is. It is a question of how big our God is. It is always a question of the object of our faith and how big our God is and what kind of God is He. Romans 4:17 says, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and who calls into existence the things that do not exist. Dalawang bagay po na nakatulong kay Abraham tungkol sa Diyos na kanyang pinagkakatiwalaan. Number one, he is the God who gives life to the dead. And that talks about the resurrection power of God. The God who makes dead things to live, who takes things that once were vibrant, full of life, who have died and became hopeless, and God could bring them back to life. That is the God who gives life to the dead. And number two, he is the God who calls into existence the things that do not exist. And that talks about the creative power of God. A God who spoke and things came into being. Let there be light, and there was light. And out of nothing, God created something. Abraham believed that nothing is impossible with God. That God is the God of impossibilities. Na walang imposible sa Diyos. Walang hindi mapangyayari ang Diyos, that God can do anything. At ito ang Diyos na pinagkakatiwalaan ni Abraham. Romans 4:18-19 says, even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping. Why? He was believing that he would become the father of many nations, for God had said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. And Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. You see, there was no reason for hope. Their hope was dead. Abraham's body was as good as dead. He was 100 years old. Sarah's womb was barren, never had a baby past the age of childbearing. Sarah's womb, as good as dead. And Abraham knew that. He faced those brutal facts head on. It was their current reality. And so faith is not evading nor escaping the facts. Hope was dead. Abraham's body was dead. Sarah's womb was dead. But he kept on hoping. Why? Because God is not dead. God is not dead. He is alive. And so Abraham kept on hoping. Yes, he struggled at some points in his life. But Abraham kept on believing God that he would become the father of many nations. And he became the father of many nations. It came to pass. Why? Because he considered who God is. There was no hope, yet Abraham kept hoping. How? Because when he looked at his dead body, he remembered that God gives life to the dead. And when he thought about Sarah's womb, though he was barren, Sarah's womb good as dead, he remembered that God calls into existence the things that do not exist. And so against all hope, Abraham believed in hope because of the God in whom he fixed his faith upon. The God who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Sapagkat ang Diyos na pinaniniwalaan ni Abraham ay may kakayahan na bumuhay ng mga patay at gumawa ng mga bagay out of nothing. And so he kept on hoping. And his hope, it was not cut off. His hope came to pass. Why? Because Abraham's faith was anchored on God, not on his capability or capacity, but on God and God alone. Abraham believed that nothing is impossible with God. And we may look into our situation, into our city, into our nation. It seems bleak and at times hopeless, but not with God. in the picture. A cure is not an impossibility with God. Healing is not an impossibility with God. Restoration is not an impossibility with God. A righteous and just nation is not an impossibility with God. Salvation and repentance is not an impossibility with God. God delights in impossibilities and He eats them for breakfast. Name some of your impossibilities today. Name some of your dead and hopeless situation and put God there. Ask God to intervene. Call upon the name of the Lord, on the God who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Jesus even said with God, nothing shall be impossible. Again, it is not a question of how little or how big our faith is. It is a question of how big our God is. And God is always bigger. God is always greater than any circumstances. Abraham's faith was anchored on God and on God alone. The next question is, where does all that faith begin? Where did it all started? You see, faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God. That's where it all began. Abraham's faith was anchored on the promise of God. Romans 4:20 to 21 says, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God and fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Abraham was fully convinced that what God said, that he will do. Abraham took God at his word and he held on. He cling. He never let go of the promises of God in his life. And Abraham's faith grew strong as he waited upon the Lord to fulfill his promise. What do you do with the promises of God in your life? You underline them, highlight them with a yellow or orange or green stabilo on your Bible? What else? You memorize them, and that's good and helpful. What else do we do with the promises of God? And I love how one pastor answered that question. And this is what he said. You go to the bank and cash them. Say amen to them, apply them, live them. And that's what we should do with the promises of God. And that's what George Mueller did. George Mueller ran not one, but several orphanages in England. And he did it all by faith. He believed he shouldn't even tell anybody about his financial needs. That God knew and that God would supply their needs, and he should just live a life of faith. And because he lived like that, he has plenty of opportunities to trust the Lord. And so on one occasion, all the kids were tucked into bed at night. He and his wife, they were going to bed. And he turned to his wife and said, honey, a little information here. We have no milk for tomorrow's oatmeal for breakfast. And so he grabbed the hand of her wife and said, let's pray. Let's pray. And then they prayed. And then not long after that, there was a knock on the door. A baker in town said, I don't know what it is, but the Lord laid you on my heart, and I bake a bunch of bread for the kids for breakfast tomorrow morning, and I brought it in tonight. The next day, the oatmeal had been made, but again, there was no meal for the oatmeal. And so they get ready to eat bread, they sit down, they prayed, and thank God for the meal. And there was another knock at the door. It was a milkman whose milk truck had broken down a block away who said, guess what? I can't deliver this milk. It's going to spoil. Can you use the milk? And so they had milk for their oatmeal for their breakfast. And so we have story after story he wrote in his journals to talk about God's faithfulness and how he said, if you walk with God and look to him, he will never fail you. He will never fail you. What do we do with the promises of God? We cash them in, apply them, and live them. And that's what Abraham did. Abraham lived for 25 years with the knowledge that one day God would give him and Sarah a child. He knew it. And he refused to let go of that promise. He received that promise because he responded to God's promise with an attitude of faith. And I don't know what you need from the Lord today. But if you have his promise in that matter, then I challenge you, would you act in faith? Would you take God at his word and hold on into the promises of God? Why? Because what God said, that he will do. And so Abraham received the promise by faith. And so what happened? Romans 4:21-22 says, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. And that's why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. Because Abraham took God at his word, grasped the promise of God, took hold of what God has said. Abraham found himself loved and accepted by God, a friend of God. His faith made him right with God. Not works, not rituals, not circumcision, not through the law, but by faith alone. And here's another good news. Verses 23-25. But the words it was counted to him were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him, who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. This was recorded, the Bible says. This was written not only for Abraham's benefit, but for our benefit as well. That God will count us righteous like Abraham as we believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead and was raised to life for our justification. That we can have that righteousness too. To be a friend of God. To be accepted before him. For our sins to be forgiven, to be restored with God, to be indwelled and be filled by the Spirit of God moment by moment, all available in Christ, not by works, not by rituals, not by obeying the law, but by faith. You see, God's plan for Abraham is still God's plan for you and me. He just wants us to take him at his word. Paul's conclusion to this section of scripture makes it clear that nothing else and no one else will be justified, will be made right except by faith alone in Christ. Abraham believed and he was counted righteous. It wasn't works. It wasn't law. It wasn't circumcision. It was faith then and it is faith until now. You see, we are made right with God by faith. And the question for us is, where is your faith? Where is your faith? My prayer is that your faith is anchored to the God who gives life to the dead, to the God who calls into existence the things that do not exist, and to the God who's able to do what he has promised. And as we take God at His word, I believe the same way that had happened to Abraham, that was credited to him as righteousness, it will be credited to us as righteousness as well, as we put our faith in Christ. Amen. I want to pray for two groups of people today. If you are facing impossibilities, hopeless situation, would you call upon the name of God today? He gives life to the dead, and He calls into existence things that do not exist. God could certainly do something about your situation today. Would you call upon the name of God? Would you cling to Him? Would you pray to Him? Would you go back to the Word of God and ask Him to give you His precious promises? Amen. Lord, thank You. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your faithfulness, Lord. Thank You that You're calling us today to look to You, to take You at His word. Lord, that whatever impossible situations and hopeless situations we are in, Lord, You're calling us to exercise our faith, to trust in You, to trust on the victory that Christ has won for us. And so, Lord, I pray, Lord, to those people who are believing for healing, Lord, miracles, Lord God, upon any form of sickness and disease, that may be cancer or diabetes, Lord. Lord God, any terminal illness, Lord God, those people who are sick, Lord God, with COVID-19, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, thank You, Lord, that You could bring life to the dead. Lord, would You breathe life, Lord God, to our weary souls, Lord God. God, to those people who need encouragement, Lord, to those people who are having a hard time to grasp, Lord God, and to handle this situation, God, Lord, we pray, Lord, would You create hope? Lord, would You create what? Strength, God. Lord, would You create, Lord God, life into their bodies even today? Lord, would You restore a whole lot of people? Would You restore faith today even for Your people? In the name of Jesus, we pray. Lord, let Your will be done. Let Your kingdom come in our situation. Lord, thank You that You would do impossibilities in our lives, whatever that may be. It may be provision. It may be healing. It may be protection. Lord, it may be a restoration of families, restoration of jobs. Whatever that may be, God, Lord, we call upon Your name today. Lord, have Your way in our lives. Thank You, Jesus, for Your goodness. Thank You for Your faithfulness. Amen and amen. Last group of people I want to pray for. You know what? If you have entrusted the Lord to be your Savior and Master of your life, I believe God is calling on you today, that He is willing to wipe away every sin of yours, not counting your sins against you, but crediting that righteousness that comes from Christ, and it is only available not because of your good works, not because of keeping the law or keeping any tradition, but it would come by putting your faith in Christ and in Christ alone. Would you put your faith in Christ? Would you surrender your life to Him and say, Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. Lord, I recognize my inability and incapacity to save myself. And Jesus, I need You. Lord, would You cover all my sins? Would You wipe away all my sins? And Lord, would You count me righteous? Not because of the things that I have done, but because of what You have done for me on the cross. Jesus, today I put my hope and my trust in You and in You alone for my salvation. In Jesus' name I pray, Amen and Amen. If you pray that prayer, please do contact us, message us on our Facebook account, or you can scan the QR code on your screen and we will get in touch with you. Or if you have any other prayer, anything at all that we can pray for you, please do message us and we are more than willing to stand with you and believe with you for impossibilities to happen in your life. Amen. God is indeed good. Let me just close this prayer, close this service in a word of prayer, and speak a blessing into you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord look with favor towards you and grant you peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. See you again next week.
Thank you for listening. We hope you were encouraged by the message. For more podcasts and updates, and to give online, visit victory.org.ph or download the Victory app.